Please be seated. So last week we heard the radical story about how mercy is the magic elixir that can heal even the deepest of divisions, the very deepest of wounds, a message so radical, you'll recall the story of the Good Samaritan, so radical that when it's lived, it changes everything inside of us, in our relationships. And daringly, I argued, Jesus was claiming this to be true for the relationships among ethnic groups and nations. After that, as if to say, how much radicalness can you handle? Luke describes another incident as part of his opening suite of stories that are making up his introduction to this entire section of the Gospel of Luke, which has Jesus setting his face to Jerusalem, traveling to Jerusalem, a plot device that will simmer in the background throughout these 10 chapters. The short incident described today takes place in Bethany, as we know from other accounts of these sisters, Mary and Martha. And Bethany, as it turns out, is near the top of the road described in last week's parable. The story then is placed here out of chronological order because Luke wants to highlight something very special, not only about Jesus' work, but about what it means for us to travel with him in his work. As last week's story shows, Jesus is taking us through a series of what could be called Copernican revolutions. You'll remember that Nicholas Copernicus discovered that the sun was at the center, not the earth. These Copernican revolutions that Jesus is taking us through are ones in which we discover that we and the people related to us and ultimately God is not what we might have thought them to be. Indeed, God is for everyone. And Luke would have us re-experience and live into this. Today's revolution redraws the boundaries around men and women, or we would say more inclusively at this time in our cultural life, redraws the boundaries across the gender continuum. The real problem between Martha and Mary wasn't who was taking more of the kitchen work. I mean, that was an irritant, to be sure. Nobody likes to be stuck with doing everything in the kitchen. But the real problem was that Mary was acting more like a man. In that culture, and still today in many parts of the world, there were distinct male and female spaces in homes, and female roles were and still are often strictly demarcated. And Mary had crossed an invisible but very important boundary. Within the house, to be sure, there were spaces where men and women hung out, but more importantly, a boundary within the social world. If you're a feminist historian and you're trying to get at the genesis of when things started to change, you avoid this story at your peril. To sit at the feet of a teacher wasn't an idiom suggesting subservience or adoration. Some have claimed that, you know, Mary and Jesus had a thing. It was actually a decidedly male role. When Paul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, as we learn in Acts, during one of Paul's impassioned defense speeches around his ministry, he wasn't thinking, man, I really like this dude, Gamaliel. He's really cool. He's got a good vibe. I want to just hang out with him. I sure love this guy. No, he was listening, learning, putting stuff together. So sitting at the feet of a great rabbi was the role of the student. But here's the thing. In Jewish understanding, it was something you did if you wanted to be a rabbi yourself. I'll let the penny drop. Mary is quietly and determinately taking her place as a would-be rabbi, a teacher of the kingdom of God. And Jesus affirms, strongly supports her right to do so. And so then the dispute between Mary and Martha isn't a contrast between the active life and the contemplative life, as it is often seen. Action and contemplation, to riff off Richard Rohr, with which many of you are familiar with, is, they're both important, of course. Without work, without service, without the act of life, we wouldn't eat. Nothing would get done. What needs to get done for the flourishing of our lives and humanity? But without contemplation, the depths of human existence would never be plumbed. We would go without worship, without awe. No doubt, some of us feel pulled to one side or the other, and that's fair enough. But listen again to the contrast as Jesus describes it. It's between worry and being distracted over many things, and sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to what he is saying. It's between our life force being dissipated away with worries and concerns and distractions that do not add to us, do not allow us to enjoy, enter into joy, and take away the effectiveness of our service, which is our authentic blessing. So contrasting that to that which prepares you to have a share in God's new commons, wherein we are all, he, she, they, allowed, invited, called even, to prepare and to share our own gifts, finding that as we listen, as we live in an awareness of the divine presence, we are daring to break through a boundary that is artificial. Often it's inside of us. Maybe it's in our family system or in our cultural system. Maybe it's here in this parish. Sitting at Jesus' feet may sound passive. It may indeed feel restful, may help us breathe, help us to put our lives in context, as we say. But in essence, it is a boundary-breaking act. It is action, the action of great courage. It is the dual great act of putting aside the worries and distractions of life. And so I've got a question for us. Are we ready to do that? We kind of live in this soup of anxiety in this world, in full of worry and distraction. Are we ready to finally do this? There can be turning points, I get it. It's not a one-time thing. It will take a lifetime of habit forming, but there can be new resolve. Anxiety is, in fact, the illness of our age. But there are powerful spiritual resources available to us as Christ's followers. The dual act, I said. So it's a turning away from and a turning towards. And we're going to do that in a minute as we have the baptismal liturgy unfold. A turning towards awareness and presence, a belief that we're made for authenticity and discovery and expression. Again, the resources in our baptismal covenant, which we'll recite together in a minute, are considerable. life-changing even. And all of this leads us to this moment in which we will, in a few minutes, call forward Lucy, a woman who has been sitting at Christ's feet over the past years, sometimes with only the glimmer of an awareness that that's what she's been doing, but lately in deliberate and courageous awareness. Lucy will share her own thoughts in a few minutes, for she too is our teacher in God's new commons. But there have been, I think fair to say, Lucy, elements of Martha's journey along the way. The worry, the distractions of your PhD work, the worries of family back in Czechia. But piercing through in the midst of all of this has been an attentive listening to the depths of the great 20th century Irish poets, to your own heart, to Alex, to the children. And in and through all of that, there's been a growing, soul-shaking sense that it's time to acknowledge that she is being called to break through a boundary in order to be called into God's, Christ's, mysterious, lyrical love. As Paul says, he himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This reality has always been there, not only for Lucy, but for all of us, refreshing, renewing, and cleaning, just like the pure water we will use in a moment. But now it's time to acknowledge it openly. And of course, this step comes with a cost. There will be decisions made in light of this, and there will be courage required, like there was for Mary, to navigate new relational realities that emerge from this step. But the better part, the part that Jesus commended Mary for, is captured by the Irish writer and poet John Donoghue. Awaken your spirit to adventure. Hold nothing back. Learn to find ease in risk. Soon you will be home in a new rhythm, for your soul senses the world that awaits you. Amen.